We are celebrating our 13th anniversary this morning, and yet it's an exciting morning for another reason. This morning, our time, afternoon Texas time, maybe about 15 minutes, Zoe Community Church, our Texas church plant, is officially holding their first service. When we heard that Toyota is moving to Plano, Texas, I remember sending the elders sending out an email to the staff to see if anyone would be interested in possibly planting a church there. And honestly, I thought that no one would even consider it. But it's so exciting that Pastor Eric and Jesse from our staff, along with James Sito from our church, felt called to lead this ministry. And I look forward to hearing testimonies of God's grace to them and through them. And so let's take a moment and pray for them as well as for our service this morning. And I wanted to give you first a moment just to pray so that we as a church can come together and pray for Zoe Community Church. And then I'll pray for us, pray for them and pray for us as well. So take a moment. Will you pray for them? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your abundant grace and mercy. And we thank you for Zoe Community Church and their heart to spread the gospel in Texas, Lord. We thank you for just the desire to make your name known and your name great. So, Lord, we pray for them. We ask that today would be such a special service. I remember our first service and just what a joy it was to have friends and family come and just to celebrate together and to kind of launch the ministry. And I pray the same would be for them. Even as this, some of our leaders and members have gone out to encourage them, we pray that it would just be a special Sunday that would encourage their worship and their trust in you. And we do pray for faith, Lord. We know that after this Sunday, as they get into the grind of ministry and as things continue, Lord, they'll face many challenges and obstacles. And so we pray that they would have just this deep abiding faith in who you are, in your character, in your love, in your sovereignty. They would trust you and they would persevere because of it. Lord, we pray for humility. We hope that they would minister in dependence upon you, that they would see just how desperate they are for grace, that anything that happens in them and through them is really just a product of your mercy. And so may they be so humble, Lord, just inviting grace into their lives constantly. Lord, we do pray for fruit. We want to see lives transformed for your glory. And so we pray, Lord, that as they boldly and faithfully and humbly and lovingly share the gospel, that you would use it to bring sinners to salvation and for those who are Christians to bring transformation to their lives for your glory. And ultimately, that's what we want from them, Lord, and for them, is that they would bring you glory. Lord, we pray that Zoe Community Church would ultimately always be about you and your honor and about declaring that your name is great. I pray that that would be a truth that would drive them and keep them and help them stay the course, Lord, as they minister and serve you faithfully, just constantly knowing what it means to bring you honor. And so be with them, Lord. Encourage them. Again, we're thankful for what you're going to do in them and through them. Lord, I pray for us as well this morning as we have our special service. Lord, as we think about, as we celebrate our anniversary, let us be ever mindful that we are really celebrating you and your faithfulness to us. Lord, that you've been so good to us and so kind to us over these last years, sustaining us and allowing us to come back every Sunday together to worship, allowing the church family to grow in our love for you and for one another. So, Lord, we pray that this Sunday would really be about you. As we hear testimonies, may they declare that, not that we are great, but that you are great, that you are relentlessly loving, constantly faithful, continuously gracious. So again, Lord, may this service be about you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As is our tradition, we're celebrating our anniversary this morning. 13 years ago, we launched Lighthouse with the hope of being a light to the cross in the South Bay. And understand, when I say that, I don't think we had great aspirations like we were going to be the church in Torrance or the South Bay. In fact, personally, there was a lot of pessimism and really a lack of faith that we could do much. And I think I shared last year, but for me, it was less, hey, change the world for God, and more like, well, I think this is what God wants me to do, so I don't want to get struck by lightning or anything, so I better go do these things. I know for, you know, I've talked to a lot of church planners since then, and there's always this excitement, this optimism, like, hey, let's just go do great things for God. But for me, I was struggling with pride, people-pleasing, and my biggest fear was that we would start a church and then fail, right? I pictured going back to Evergreen, the church that sent us, saying, well, we just couldn't do it. I always had this, as my time frame, a couple of weeks to a month. And I'm not exactly sure what I thought we could do in 1 month just to crash and burn as a church, but that's what I pictured, you know, going and then 2 or 3 weeks later, going back to Evergreen. And so I understood that the church plant, largely as God's way to teach and sanctify me. So my personal motto literally was, I'm willing to fail for God. Okay, so that was really what I was thinking. It's really not an ideal slogan for a church. So what we put on our website was a light to the cross. But again, in my mind, this church was a failure waiting to happen. But I share that to highlight what this morning is about. It really is a testimony to God's faithfulness. He's been so good to us in allowing us to survive each year completely by his grace. In other words, we really shouldn't be here. Right? We should have failed. But God has chosen to be gracious to us, not simply because he loves us, but so that he might be so that we might be a testament to his greatness. Granted, I think in my sin, I want to be able to say we survived for 13 years because of our talent or our ability. But let's be honest, we are jars of clay, right? Simply pointing to Christ, the great treasure. 13 years ago, our first sermon was from Matthew 5, 14 through 16. It says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Part of being a light at the cross is proclaiming the gospel. That's why we're hoping it's happening in our lives throughout the week, and we hope that that's what happens every Sunday here at church. We want to be a church that preaches the gospel, both for salvation and for life. The gospel tells us that God created us to live in joyful worship for him. So before sin, everything was perfect. But then came the fall and sin entered the world and it ruined everything. That's why our world is the way it is, why it is so messed up, because we live in a world devastated by sin. And worst of all, our sin means that we are not right with God, because we are sinners who live in rebellion to God, and he is righteous and holy and always fair. He must punish sin with his very wrath in hell. In other words, all of us are sinners who deserve God's wrath. All of us have broken God's law and should face judgment as lawbreakers. All of us are dead in our sin. And that could be the end of our story. But our story doesn't end there, because Jesus entered into our story by becoming the God-man. He lived the perfect life that we were unable to, and then he went to the cross to suffer God's wrath in our place. At the cross, Jesus stood in our place. Our sin credited him and him suffering the punishment we deserve so that he would never have to. But not only was our sin credited to Jesus and he was crushed for it, but we are credited with Christ's righteousness so that we can be adopted children of God. Amazingly, Jesus didn't stay dead, but rose from the dead to be the promise of new life, so that if we place our faith in him as our Lord and our Savior, we have new and eternal life. We've said before, but one of the key elements that makes Christianity different from every other religion is this idea of grace, of salvation as a free gift of God. We don't earn it by being a good person or going to church. We receive it through faith. Now, if we stop there, that's enough for us to praise God for eternity. I mean, we are sinners who get eternal life. I mean, it should boggle the mind. But the gospel is more than that. In our sin, we are constantly trying to find security and identity and joy in the world. We will live in this relentless pursuit of satisfaction in things and success and relationships. And yet we will never be deeply be satisfied and truly and eternally happy, because this world was not meant to bear the weight of our souls. We weren't designed by God to find our hope in the creation. Rather, we were meant to find it in the Creator. And the gospel is what allows us once again to be in relationship with our Creator, our heavenly God. So the gospel means that in Christ, I have true eternal security, a real meaningful identity, and a deep and lasting joy. I was made by God and for God, and so through the gospel allows me to be once again right with God. And this is amazing, beloved. And this is what we hope that our church is about, that in our own lives and in every Sunday here, that this is the gospel that we're preaching. But we've also said from the beginning that we didn't simply want lips that proclaim the gospel, but we want lives that demonstrate the gospel and point to the gospel. In our passage, Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, our lives are meant to be a testimony, not to our greatness, but to God's greatness. People should look at our lives and look at our church and know that we have a great God. I remember after our first year, we wanted to hold an anniversary service because somehow we had survived. And we wanted people to know how faithful God had been. And so it was the point of that anniversary and each anniversary afterwards to testify to the grace and faithfulness of God, to remind people that he's been so gracious to us. And so whatever good has come from this church must simply be attributed to the goodness of our God. And so something I hope you walk away with this, from this morning is that the God is great and that we are not. He is why this church is anything. Like I mentioned, we're kind of at a point where the leaders often meet with young church planters. They want to know what we did, maybe kind of what's the secret. So we try to talk about conviction, the centrality of the gospel, the sufficiency of the word, the supremacy of worship. We talk about some of the practical things that we did. But in reality, none of these things guarantee growth or success, however you define that. If you want to know why we've survived and even thrived, I'm convinced of this. God has chosen to bless us with all our weaknesses and all our shortcomings to magnify himself and his grace. Because the truth of the matter is, you can find better preachers, you can find nicer buildings, you can find churches with more programs and ministries, but in Blessing Lighthouse, what has God done? Shown himself to be great by using people like us to spread his gospel. So again, that's what I hope you walk away with from this anniversary service, knowing that our God is so good. Before I close, let me offer a few points of application. One is just let this service be about the glory of God. As you listen to the testimonies, think of God and his goodness and his grace, and you'll hear over and over that it's God that has done these things. If people ask you about the service, tell them it was about Jesus. I mean, you can tell them about Frostbite, but after that, tell them it's really about Jesus. Second is ask yourself, what does my life say about Christ? If I'm supposed to let people see my good works so that they can bring glory to God in heaven, what does my life say? When you hear the testimonies, you'll hear ways that some of you were a means of grace to others. Your lives pointed them to Christ. Your life demonstrated Christ. And that should remind all of us that our lives should say something great about our Savior. And third, continue to love the people of this church. That's how we can point to the greatness of our God. Jesus says in John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. One of the best ways we can point to our great God is to love each other well. It's encouraging again because you're going to hear testimonies of God's grace through the love of the people of this church. And so I encourage you to be that person to others. Let me close with this. For me, I'm constantly reminded of God's goodness, not just because it's an anniversary, but I love being a part of this church. I never think, I hope I get another job. I never look at another church and think, I wish I could serve there. I want to die in this pulpit. Maybe not literally on a Sunday morning for your sake, but I hope that this is my first and last ministry. And really, I could offer a lot of reasons for this. I love our eldership. I love our staff. I love the leaders. They're a joy to work with. I love you, my church family. You make it a blessing to serve here. I love what we stand for. I love our convictions. But in the end, it really comes down to this. God has been very gracious to this church, and he's given me a front row seat to that grace. I get to see what he does in people's lives, and I daily get a picture of his love and faithfulness. And so again, I really hope this morning you walk away from this service knowing our God is amazing, knowing that you have been given a front row seat to his grace as members of our church family talk about the greatness and goodness of our Savior. Will you pray with me? Dearly Father, we thank you and we praise you. You have been so very kind to us. And so I pray, Lord, that through the testimonies, through the sharing, through the music, that everything would just point to you, our God. People would know how great you are and how good you are. To you be the glory. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, I want to introduce Manuel and Ana Rodriguez to share about God's grace in their lives.
Good morning. My name is Ana Rodriguez. Manuel and I have been married for 27 years, and we have two sons, Manuel Eduardo, 25, and Daniel Alejandro, 21. Manuel, Daniel, and I have been attending Lighthouse since the summer of 2011, and it has been a blessing to be a part of the Lighthouse family. We are from El Salvador, and we came to the United States in 1980. We both come from a Catholic background, always knowing that God sent his son to die for my sin so that I may have eternal life. I knew this truth, but there was something missing, a personal relationship with God. We attended St. Anthony Church on a regular basis as a family and participated in all the events and activities. At the same time, I was going to a Bible study with my friend Pat. I enjoy it very much, and I realized that studying the Bible made me aware that God is in control of all circumstances that surrounded my life, both good and bad. One day, after my Bible study, I made a commitment to start a personal relationship with God. I contacted Father Dennis and invited him over for dinner to let him know that I no longer be attending St. Anthony's Church. He asked why, and I told him that I had been going to a Bible study at a Christian church. I really enjoyed reading the Bible for the very first time. After reading the Bible, I knew for sure that God was working in my life even before I was born. I also realized that God loves me and is always looking out for me. And now I see this picture of love and caring at Lighthouse, where everyone plays an important part in my life. Father Dennis just smiled and said, "May God always be with you and your family." My new relationship with the Lord started the summer of 2006. Jesus opened up a new relationship for me through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. No longer I must go through a high priest, like in the Catholic Church, to seek atonement for my sins, because Jesus became the final sacrifice for my sins. And he has given me the free access to God, the Father, to whom I can come in times of need. In John 20:17, on the morning of the resurrection, Jesus did not allow Mary to touch him. He said, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." In other words, God is our Father now too because of Jesus. God is personal. He is caring and he loves you and me. And that is why he sent his son to die on the cross in our place. God's unconditional love has always meant a lot to me. God had also shown me his love and grace through the church family here at Lighthouse. God has used them in my life to change me for the good. Jesus offers eternal life to anyone who believes in his truth in him. I am a sinner, saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Good morning, everybody. Like my wife mentioned, I also come from a Catholic background. As a matter of fact, I went to an all-boys Catholic school from grade school all the way to high school. So I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I was a practicing Catholic for over 40 years. I knew my religion. I knew the rules, the sacrament, the dogmas of faith. I even was an altar boy. I knew of the gospel. I knew that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. I was a very religious young boy that became a religious adult. As a family, we went to Mass almost every Sunday. I consider myself a good moral person with a good and solid religious background. Then about 10 years ago, in the spring of 2006, I began to feel a void in my spiritual life, a void in my heart. I felt that just going to Mass every Sunday was not enough. I needed more, but I didn't know more of what. God, of course, knew all my needs and had a plan for me and for my family. God's grace and mercy is so abundant, and his love for me and my family is so great that at that time, he put people in our lives that invited us to Bible studies at different Christian churches. My wife was invited by her friend Pat to a Christian church. My sons were invited to a youth group at another local Christian church in El Segundo. And I was also invited by another friend to a different church, all at the same time. I started to go every Thursday night to a men's Bible study group. And for the first time in my life, I started to read and study the Bible. I started to pray directly to God, and not to just to recite some repetitive prayer. You see, I started to develop a personal relationship with God. In the fall of 2006, my wife Anna, my sons Manuel and Daniel, and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the four of us were baptized the same day. By the grace of God, I came to realize that I didn't need all that religion that I had before for so many years. What I needed was a personal relationship with God. I realized that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the only one that could fill that void that I had in my heart before. I knew of the gospel, but I didn't know the gospel. About 5 years ago, we came to Lighthouse for the first time. And what a blessing it has been to be a part of this church family. Although I have to confess that after that first Sunday here at Lighthouse, I remember telling my wife, "Are you sure you want to go back to that church? They don't even have a building. They meet at our high school. And besides, did you look around? 99.9% are Asians and a lot younger than us. We were the only Hispanics there," we thought. But we both agreed that the teaching was very good, and we really, really felt welcome that first Sunday. So we decided to go back for at least one more Sunday. We have been here ever since. Lighthouse has been a blessing to us because we have learned that the purpose of the church is to glorify God. And here at Lighthouse, we have seen and experienced how this truth is not only preached, but also practiced. Here at Lighthouse, we have experienced what a gospel-centered church family is. You see, it didn't matter that we were not Asians. It didn't matter what our level of education was. It didn't even matter that we spoke with an accent. We were welcome and are part of this church family. But most importantly, we are part of God's family, adopted by him. And our ultimate citizenship is not here on earth, but in heaven. Ephesians 2:4-6 tells us, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you were saved, and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Thank you.
My name is Kenji Sakai, and this is my wife, Leanne. We have a 2-year-old son named Noah. We have been attending Lighthouse for about 2 years and have been blessed by what God has been doing through this church family.
There are many reasons why we are thankful for Lighthouse, but since we only have a little bit limited time this morning, we're only going to be sharing 2 ways. The first way is how you have so lovingly welcomed us into your family. To be very honest, we were a bit intimidated when we first walked through these doors. Maybe not for the same reasons that were mentioned earlier, but because of the size of Lighthouse. Our previous church was much smaller, and the size of this church was overwhelming for us. We didn't feel confident that we could form close relationships within such a large community. But since our top priority when looking for a new church was the consistent preaching of the gospel, we continued to attend services. We quickly found that the gospel was the running theme throughout every aspect of the church. From retreats to fellowship events to small group discussions, the gospel was always emphasized and our hearts were always examined. We were and still are excited for the truths of the gospel to be preached so clearly and seeing evidences of this gospel transforming the way we think, the way we speak, and love others. As we became more involved with the church, the relationships just seemed to happen. By the simple acts of remembering our names or approaching us in a crowded fellowship hall, or even inviting us into your homes, we have been amazed by the genuine hospitality of the people of Lighthouse that we now have realized is purely an outpouring of love as an act of worship to God for the grace that he has given us through Jesus Christ. The people of Lighthouse not only study the word, but live out the word. We see clearly how this church functions as one body with many giftings that work together to worship God and to serve others. As a result of Lighthouse embracing the gospel, God provided us with a community of believers with a common desire to know God more and to see him worshiped above all things. And reflecting on our experience as newcomers to the church, we are convinced that Lighthouse believes that every moment is a worship moment because we have seen this lived out among all of you. We are recipients of the overflow of your worship to God, and for that we are so thankful.
The second way God has blessed us while at Lighthouse was by learning about how to worship him through our evangelism during a past small group series. We learned truths about the subtle idols that we held so closely and practical ways of sharing our faith with people in our circle of influence. We both came from non-Christian backgrounds and have since been able to share more boldly with our family, friends, coworkers, and patients. While practical approaches in clearly sharing the gospel are vital, boldness to share came about only after understanding that our own sin kept us from evangelizing. We worshiped ourselves and idolized relationships more than we worshiped God. We learned that our new identity as God's children and ambassadors of Christ frees us to be unafraid of what people may think of us and enables us to find joy in evangelism as an act of worship. I have been able to experience joy in evangelism at work by sharing the gospel through the 2 ways to live outline. Even though the 2 ways to live resource is clear and simple, I must admit that I have fumbled through the presentation of the gospel many times. However, even in my nervousness, I delighted in sharing the wonderful news of Jesus to an unbeliever. Whether the person receives Christ or not, I know that God is pleased with my attempts to share his gospel. He is the only one to melt a stony heart and bring an unbeliever to himself. It is up to us to be obedient in sharing the good news. Transitioning to a new church, identifying our sinful idols, and practicing our boldness in sharing the gospel have been challenging, but also sanctifying. We have learned about the subtle yet strong influences of our sin, and also the great hope we have in the gospel to free us from our sin. We have also directly experienced God's grace and encouragement through the people of Lighthouse. We have seen the church's love for God practically lived out by their love for us and for others. Weekly reminders of the gospel from the pulpit help us to remember that he is so gracious to save sinners like Leanne and me, and that we are not alone fighting our sin. By God's grace, we are experiencing greater joy in our evangelism as an act of worship. Finally, by connecting with people through what we are learning about God together, he has allowed us to establish deeper relationships with people we can truly call brothers and sisters. Thank you for welcoming our family into this church and allowing us to worship God alongside you.
Hi, my name is Clarence. I've been coming to Lighthouse for about a year now. I've had the privilege to get to know some of you, but if I haven't met you yet, I look forward to meeting you and hearing about what God's doing in your life. So don't be a stranger. Come say hi. I'm grateful to be able to share with you the ways God has been faithful to me through Lighthouse. I'm currently going through the counseling training offered here at Lighthouse. It's amazing that God would invite us, allow us to counsel others to love and savor Christ more. But more incredible is discovering that in this process that he is doing a great, profound work in me. I've always struggled with anxiety. I mean, I worry. I even worry about worrying. I always thought that this was just who I was, how I was born. Earlier this year, my anxiety really reached a crescendo when it began to manifest itself in physical symptoms. I mean, I would wake up at night and feel panicked and not be able to fall back asleep. But through the teaching of Lighthouse, I was brought to this idea that whenever we feel anxious, bitter, whatever it is that you want to insert there, it is because our idols are being threatened. There is something that we want that we are not getting that ultimately we're supposed to find in Christ. The problem isn't our circumstances, but a sin problem. Our circumstances are just the context in which our sins find expression. I realized that my anxiety was because my idol of the praise of man was being threatened. Whenever I felt anxious, it was because my reputation was at stake. At the end of the day, I wanted to feel like I was worth something. And I had bought the lie that how other people saw me gave me worth and identity. In my sin, I had called God a liar, stating in my belief system that I did not believe Christ to be the sole proprietor of my worth and identity. But I'm thankful because ultimately all of this led me back to Calvary. In contemplating my sin, I was moved to a deeper, more profound gratitude because of the grace and mercy that covers that sin. I came to a deeper appreciation of God, the gospel, because even though I had made provision for my sins, my status before God was unchanged because of the accomplishments of Christ on the cross. I was livened to the sweetness of the gospel because I realized my desperate need for it. You see, I always thought that my anxiety was something that I would have to live with, my metaphorical cross to bear. But in understanding my anxiety fundamentally as a sin problem, there is such staggering hope because our God demonstrates through the gospel that he can, will, and has conquered sin. And that I too, empowered by his grace, can conquer my sins and pursue holiness. In addition to the teaching here at Lighthouse, in so many ways, I've seen God's grace through the community of Lighthouse. This last January, I found out that my mom's cancer was getting worse and had metastasized to her throat and chest. It was a difficult season of my life because my mom lives in Taiwan, so it was painful not being able to be physically there for her. On one hand, I was struggling with God's plan as I was unsure of my mother's salvation. And on the other hand, I was struggling financially due to my mother's treatment burning through our family's resources. But God demonstrated his love for me through the community of Lighthouse. So many brothers and sisters reached out to me, supported me in both their words and prayers, so much that I never felt that I was alone in any of this. They even sought to support me financially. Many of the brothers and sisters here at Lighthouse, many of which I had barely just met, banded together, all without my knowledge, to raise money so I could afford a plane ticket to go back to see my mother and share the gospel with her. Praise God for the kind of community we have here at Lighthouse, for the kind of brothers and sisters sitting to your left and right, the kind that would seek to support a brother they barely know for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of encouraging his faith. It was through this kind of community that, even against the backdrop of the uncertainty of my mother's prognosis, that I came to know the certainty of God's love for me and my mother. Actually, a big reason I started coming to Lighthouse was because of the community here. I remember one of my first times at Lighthouse, we were invited to pray with Lighthouse folk on either side of the room. And at that time, my best friend had recently walked away from the faith. And as I was describing this to this brother that was going to pray for me, I just started to weep. I mean, I was like a mess. Like, we're talking like boogers, like not the attractive kind of weeping, not the most pleasant picture. But you know what was more encouraging than his biblically sound, theologically correct prayer was that in that moment, he too began to weep with me. That he, someone I have never met before, would weep with me for my unsaved friend. I remember thinking in that moment that this is where I want to be, in a church that is willing to bear each other's burdens and weep for the lost. As someone who has been on the receiving end of a community that seeks to see others greater than themselves, it is my hope that we as a church would never lose sight of that, that our pursuit of theological correctness and biblically sound teaching would always lead us to live more upwardly and outwardly, to love God and others more, that ultimately we would come to a deeper worship of God, who through the gospel has made the teaching and community here at Lighthouse possible. Thank you.